All right, children, I need your help. We have a message today, and the message today is it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. And during the message, at times, I have this line, and I'm going to start it. I'm going to say, it's Friday, but, and when I point to you, I need you to say, Sunday's coming. You got it? You can do that. So throughout the message, that line will come up, and I'll look over at you guys, and I'll point at you, just so you're kind of listening. There are some more coloring pages here. I made up a couple more. I don't know if you need them or not, but let's get into it. Let's see what we got going here. If you know anything about American history, or even anything about Pacific Island history, you will know that on December 7th, 1941, the Japanese raided Pearl Harbor. This was a defining moment in American history. The U.S. fleet was reachable by an aircraft carrier force only. The Japanese planes, they attacked about 8 a.m., within just a short time, five of the eight battleships were either sunk or sinking, and the other three were severely damaged. The planes, the combat planes, had been knocked out, and get this, 2,400 Americans were dead. But you see, that was on December 7th, 1941. But August 6th, 1945 was coming. It was on a Friday that Jesus stood before his accusers. The chief priests and the scribes, they wanted to kill Jesus. He was a disturbance to the people. The religious leaders would seek to accuse him of anything that would cause him to be put to death. So they accumulated some false witnesses to testify against him concerning his work. But you see, their testimony was inconsistent and therefore would not be convincing. People had heard him say that he could destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. The priests were pushing him to say something, but Jesus stood there silent. He could choose to remain silent if he wanted to. In Jewish law, one did not have to speak. But finally, Jesus spoke. He stated that he was God and that he was coming back. With that one saying, the priest declared him to be guilty and worthy of death. And then some of them began to mistreat him. They wanted him dead, and here was their chance. Now I'm going to take a pause for a moment. As I'm going along, the words will pop up. If you have the fill in the blank, it'll be up there. And some of you have that. And then right now we're getting to a part in scripture. And then if you have your Bibles, you can follow along if you want. We'll be looking at Mark chapter 14, verses 53, all the way through chapter 16, verse 6. And you can open your Bibles and we'll kind of go through that if you want. The other thing that will happen is the words will pop up here as I get to them. Mark chapter 14, verse 65 reads like this. And some began to spit at him and to blindfold him and to beat him with fists and to say to him, prophesy. And the officers received him with slaps in the face. But you see, and kids, are you ready for this? That was on Friday, but Sunday is coming. That's right. We look forward to Sunday. But see, the Jews knew that they did not have the power to crucify someone. So they had to take him to Pilate to get his approval. Now, Pilate does not want to be involved in this affair. He is not in good standings with the Jews nor with the Romans. Caesar sent Pilate to Palestine to try to bring peace in the region. But ever since he has been there, peace has never been realized. Pilate attempts to question Jesus. Once again, Jesus was silent before his accusers. The priests were throwing hard accusations against him, but he remained silent. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7, which is actually a prophecy about Jesus, it reads like this. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter, and like sheep that is silent before its shearers, so he did not open his mouth. You see, Pilate even tries to appease the Jews by freeing one of the criminals at the Passover, as it was the custom back then. Pilate gives the people a choice between an insurrectionist named Barabbas and Jesus. But the people cry out for Jesus to be killed. Pilate was perplexed. He did not know why the Jewish people were against this man so much. What did he do that caused the priests to so adamantly want his blood shed? Pilate could see that this man, Jesus, was innocent, and he wished to release him. But the people shouted out all the more, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate did not want to cause a riot or any other disturbance in Jerusalem, and so he gave in to public pressure, and he sent Jesus away to be killed. Mark chapter 15, verse 15 says, "And wishing to satisfy the multitude, Pilate released Barabbas to them, and after having Jesus scourged, he delivered him to be crucified." But you see, that was on Friday, but Sunday is coming. That's right, Sunday is coming. Poor Jesus. His disciple Judas has betrayed him. Peter has denied him, and all the other disciples have fled. And now he is all alone to face death. He prayed in the garden for the strength to face these final hours. He needs help. But there he is, treated like a criminal while he is the Son of God. How could man kill his God? But you see, that was on Friday, but Sunday is coming, that's right. Now the soldiers are going to treat him like dirt, or even worse than dirt. They are going to beat him and hit him. They're going to spit on him and mock him. They are going to dress him up like a king so that they can despise him. They place purple on him because purple is a kingly color. Can you just picture the soldiers who are laughing and taunting at Jesus? They are sarcastically teasing him. The king of the earth has become a joke to his creation. Creation taunts the creator. Mark chapter 15, verses 16 through 20 read like this. "And the soldiers took him away into the palace, that is, the praetorium. And they called together the whole Roman cohort. And they dressed him up in purple. And after weaving a crown of thorns, they put it on him. And they began to acclaim him, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' And they kept beating his head with a reed and spitting on him, and kneeling and bowing before him. And after they had mocked him, they took the purple off of him, and they put his garments on him, and they led him away to crucify him." See, all of this was done on Friday. But what they did not realize was that Sunday was coming. That is right. Now Jesus is led out to the Via Dolorosa. That is what the road is called that Jesus had to walk with his cross over his shoulder to the place of his crucifixion. It is a narrow street in Jerusalem that is paved with dirt and rocks. You can just picture the beaten and bloodied Savior taking weak steps toward his death. He is falling and he is in agony. His knees are scraping the ground that he made with his Father. Jesus is so weak that the soldiers recruit a traveler to help him bear the cross. Mark chapter 15, verse 21 says, "And they pressed into service a passerby coming from the country, Simon of Cyrene, to bear his cross." This road has the blood of the Savior on its grounds. But you see, that walk was on Friday. What they did not realize was that that's right. Sunday is still coming. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Gladiator, but in the movie Gladiator, Maximus is a powerful Roman general. But Commodus kills his father, Marcus Aurelius, and he assumes the role of Caesar, which is the leader. Knowing that Maximus is a threat to his rule. He sends some soldiers to murder Maximus. But Maximus somehow escapes and he becomes a slave. And that slave becomes a gladiator. He becomes one of the greatest gladiators. Maximus becomes more powerful than Commodus himself. At the end of the movie, Maximus fights Commodus and he has revenge for Commodus actually killing his wife and his son that he loves so much. You see, by now, Satan is laughing during these hours. They are rejoicing in hell over the coming death of Christ. The soldiers lead Jesus to Golgotha now. This is called the place of the skull. Then the soldiers started to play games at the foot of the cross. This is the most important event in human history, and all the soldiers were worried about were some old clothes. As Jesus was hanging on the cross, the crowds were walking by and hurling insults at him. They were wagging their heads as they mocked him. They call out that he saved others, but he cannot even save himself now. But Jesus Christ, knowing that he could call down 12,000 angels if he wanted to, but he remained silent. He puts up with the abuse and all the nasty comments because he knows that he has to save humanity. But you see, that was on Friday. But Sunday is coming. That is right. Listen to the words of Mark chapter 15, verses 22 through 32. They read like this. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him. Dividing up his clothing, they cast lots to see what each would get. It was 9 in the morning when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." They crucified two rebels with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priest and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. "He saved others," they said, "but he cannot save himself. Let this Messiah, the King of Israel, come down from the cross so that we may see and believe." Those crucified with him also heaped abuse on him. But you see, that was on Friday. But
Sunday is coming.
See, also on Friday at the sixth hour, darkness falls over the whole land. The darkness lasted for 3 hours. Even creation groaned over the death of its creator. And then something very sad happens. Then God leaves the presence of his son because he has taken the sins of the world upon himself. Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" See, this is the scream of separation. This is the first time in history that the Trinity has been broken apart. For all of time, the Trinity was in perfect togetherness and harmony. And now God breaks the bond of unity to save humanity. But this cry of Jesus, it causes confusion amongst the crowds. The people think that he's hoping that Elijah will maybe save him. But you see, today is Friday. But
Sunday.
Exactly. Finally, Jesus gives up his life. He breathes his last. And the awful deed is done. Man has murdered his Savior. Man has rejected his hope. Man has killed his creator. The death of Christ has come. The world is thrown into chaos. The veil of the temple is ripped. And then a centurion declares a truth that all of humanity should have known. This is the Son of God. Mark chapter 15, verses 33 through 39, it tells the story of Friday so well. And it reads like this. When the sixth hour came, darkness fell over the whole land until the ninth hour. At the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they began saying, "Behold, he is calling for Elijah." Someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top all the way to the bottom. When the centurion who was standing right in front of him saw the way that he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." The priest, the Pharisees, and the soldiers, see, they wished that they could go back to Friday, because on that Friday, they were on top of the world. Jesus, on that Friday, was only a carpenter with a huge claim. He was only a miracle worker. On Friday, Jesus was, in their eyes, only another insurrectionist, a troublemaker. He was a great teacher on that Friday. He was maybe a great man, but surely not the Son of God. But that was on Friday. Also on that Friday, Satan thought he was victorious. He had convinced God's creation to kill their creator. Satan must be pleased. See, he would have no way of knowing what God's ultimate plan was. Satan raised his hand in victory. Man rejected the cornerstone of salvation. But once again, all of that was on Friday. But
Sunday is coming.
That's right. So they took Christ's body and they placed him on a tomb fit for a king. They asked for the body of Jesus so that they could prepare him for his gravesite. So Joseph of Arimathea gave Jesus a family tomb and he placed him in the garden. And there Christ was laid to rest. See, Friday was a sad day, but Sunday is still coming. I have a video for you to watch. Aaron, go ahead.
It's Friday. Jesus is praying. Peter's asleep. Judas is betraying. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday. Pilate's struggling. The council is conspiring. The crowd is vilifying. They don't even know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are running like sheep without a shepherd. Mary's crying. Peter is denying. But they don't know that Sunday's are coming. It's Friday. The Romans beat my Jesus. They robe him in scar. They crown him with thorns. But they don't know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. See Jesus walking to Calvary. His blood dripping. His body stumbling. And his spirit's burdened. But you see, it's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The world's winning. People are sinning, and evil's grinning. It's Friday. The soldiers nailed my Savior's hands to the cross. They nailed my Savior's feet to the cross. And then they raised him up next to criminals. It's Friday. But let me tell you something. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are questioning what has happened to their king. And the Pharisees are celebrating that their scheming has been achieved. But they don't know it's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. He's hanging on the cross, feeling forsaken by his Father, left alone and dying. Can nobody save him? Oh, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The earth trembles. The sky grows dark. My King yields his spirit. It's Friday. Hope is lost. Death has won. Sin has conquered. And Satan's just a laugh. It's Friday. Jesus is buried. A soldier stands guard, and a rock is rolled into place. But it's Friday. It is only Friday. Sunday is a coming.
Now, normally we would leave a Good Friday service right there. But today, because it's a special service where we've joined together, I'm going to go on just a little bit more. See, no one was expecting what was going to happen that next Sunday. No one knew that Sunday, what that Sunday would hold for the future. See, that Sunday, maybe it was going to be a sad Sunday. Or maybe just an ordinary Sunday for some of them. But these people, they did not know the power of God. See, that Sunday, it was going to go down in history. See, that Sunday was Resurrection Sunday. Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 6 says, when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome bought spices so that they might come and anoint him. Very early on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. They were saying to one another, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb? Looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, although it was extremely large. Entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting at the right, wearing a white robe. And they were amazed. And he said to them, do not be amazed. You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who has been crucified. He has risen. He is not here. Behold, here is the place where they laid him. You see, Friday has passed and Sunday has come. Imagine the shock of Satan. You see, victory was in his hands. Imagine the fear of Pilate. I let him die on Friday. Or imagine the horror of the Pharisees. We had him killed. Or the fear of the soldiers who had taunted and mocked him. See, those who thought they were the most powerful, they were only strong on Friday. But Sunday, it's a whole other story. Sunday had arrived. Do you think that they were probably wishing that they could go back to Friday? But for them, it was too late. Today is March 29th, Good Friday. As I wrap this up, my question for you is, are you still living in Friday? Are you still living in a time where Jesus was just a man with a great claim? A man who was beaten and hung on a cross and died and was laid in a tomb? Or have you moved over to Sunday? When Jesus has resurrected from the dead, he paid the penalty for our sins, and he came back to life so that we could have eternal life. Are you still living in Friday? Or have you accepted him as your personal Lord and Savior? Do you have that relationship with Jesus Christ? See, that's what it's all about. as the worship team prepares to lead us in a song, my question for you tonight is, are you living in Friday? Or are you living in Sunday? If you've never ever accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've never invited Him into your heart, this Good Friday could be that day. The day that you accept Jesus Christ. As the worship team leads, I would be willing to pray with you. You can come forward. One of the other pastors, I'm sure they would love to pray with you. You see, you can move from Friday, where Jesus is crucified, to a Sunday, where He is the resurrected King and Savior of us all.